Welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we bring Sunday home. Join us as we dive deeper into First Baptist's weekly sermons, discuss practical applications, and answer your questions. Hello and welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast. I'm Jordan Upton, and with me as always is Pastor Jeff Reynolds. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Jordan, today we are filming on the day of the eclipse, and so that is a wonderful day. I told Vespers last night, given all the speculation about what the eclipse might mean, we will record today, and then we'll see if you hear it on Wednesday. I don't know. So anyway.
all of our predictions and hypotheses today could be completely wrong.
Well, that's exactly
but we'll
right.
cut them out. We can cut them out before then.
Sam, we have an edit button, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
but all joking aside, I thought it was interesting that we talked about 2 Peter 3 on this Sunday before the eclipse. And, you know, because thinking about the eclipse, and there's a lot of things that are kind of aligning in the world, you know, the war in Israel and stuff like that, where it just feels very apocalyptic. So reading Peter's words and, you know, the things that he's talking about and being patient, it seemed really, really appropriate for Sunday.
You know, and it's interesting because I did not in feeling led to that text, there was no part of me that was like, oh, well, let's talk about this in preparation for the eclipse. And so it's just always interesting how the Lord guides and leads us. And ultimately, I'll say this, regardless of whether or not the eclipse is a sign, as God gave the sun and the moon for signs and seasons and all those sorts of things, if it is a sign of the return of Christ, the question that I have is, well, what does that do to you? You know, are you ready for it? Mm-hmm. Because that's God's call to us always. We don't know the day or the hour. And let's say that Christ does come. Well, are we ready? Or let's say he doesn't, but then we recognize that all of us have a day, a time appointed when our life on this earth will come to an end and we will face Almighty God. And we don't know when that is. I don't have an expiration date stamped on my foot. So, I mean, you know, I feel healthy. The doctor says I'm healthy. But, you know, you just never know what's going to happen in the course of a day. And so the call of Scripture is always to be ready to meet your maker, so to speak, and to give an account for your life. And where have you placed your faith? And so the question, and we've dove deep real quick. Dived deep really quickly. But the question for all of us is, okay, well, let's say this is the end. Are we ready for that? And so, personally, I join the prayer of the Apostle John at the end of the book of Revelation, come, Lord Jesus. And there's so many things, and we'll talk more about that, but we've kind of gotten into it pretty quickly, and it's a good day to get into it pretty quickly. So, given all the prognostications of what this day of the eclipse might mean, I think the key reminder is let's always be ready for Jesus today.
Amen. I think that's the take-home lesson for today and everything that we're going to say. It's like you should always be ready. There have been signs for millennia.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
And in some sense, like each sign is for you in the moment. It's not a sign of like, oh, it's happening now because he hasn't come back yet.
That's
you know?
Right. So that's right.
Okay, so like I said, we read on Sunday 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter's last chapter of scripture that he wrote and that was included in the Bible. If you haven't yet read that or listened to Jeff's sermon, you'll want to go back and listen to those. But we actually are diverging a little bit more than normal from your sermon here. I was just looking at the chapter and, you know, thinking about the clips, and I was like, you know, I think it would be good to talk about some of these things because a lot of people are talking about it right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, in the first two verses, Peter says, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets. Predictions.
There you go.
The predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Okay, so like we've said, 2024, we've got a war in Israel, we've got earthquakes happening in various places, and the sun's even being blotted out. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
It's easy to start thinking about the end times, and this whole chapter is very apocalyptic. But what does Peter actually mean by remember the predictions of the prophets, the Messiah, the apostles?
Yeah, so we go back and look specifically. Let me just give you a couple of examples. In the Old Testament prophets, the minor prophets, for example, which the minor prophets are minor books, but they are major prophets. I mean, it's real. And these are important messages. But in Joel chapter 2, for example, there's a discussion of the day of the Lord. And Joel the prophet, as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, says, "Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness there is spread upon the mountain a great and powerful people. Their like has never been before, nor will be again after them throughout the years of all generations." And then goes on talking about the day of the Lord. The idea is that the day of the Lord is a day of great victory for the Lord and great vindication for God's people. Again, in Malachi, as we come to the last book of the Old Testament, the last chapter of the Old Testament, Malachi in chapter 4 discusses the great day of the Lord. Malachi says, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise," S-U-N, Sun of Righteousness, "shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I command him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." And so whoop. I mean, the Passover Seder, we're looking for Elijah. Does Elijah come? Jesus tells us that Elijah has come in the spirit and power, or John the Baptist has come in the spirit and power of Elijah. And so John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord, and so Jesus, the Messiah, comes. Now, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and fulfilling Zechariah's prophecies, and then he ascended into heaven, and the next time he rides into Jerusalem, he will do so on a stallion. And there will be no peace. There will be, again, the righteous judgment of the Lord. And so when Peter says, remember these things, remember the context in which he's writing, okay? Scholars are pretty unanimous in their belief, conservative Christian scholars are pretty unanimous in their belief that Peter is writing this from Rome between 64 and 67 AD during the Neronian, the persecution of under Nero. And so can you imagine what life must have been like for Christians in Rome at this period of time? Can you imagine what life must have been like for Peter? I mean, he writes in 2 Peter, "I know the putting off of my body shall be soon." He knows that his physical end on earth is coming soon. And he was right. We have pretty unanimous affirmation that Peter was crucified under Nero at Rome. And then the tradition is that he was crucified upside down. So Peter knows that this end is coming for him and for others who name the name of Christ. And he's writing to those who are the elect exiles at Cappadocia and Bithynia and Galatia and all of those places. Can you imagine what this must have been like? I mean, you talk about apocalyptic living. They're experiencing this right now. So, you know, Peter's talking about the day of the Lord as a day of vindication for God and his people when the evildoers will be trampled upon. You know, the day will come when before all else, Nero will bow his knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, he already is well aware, because Nero's life came to an end in 68 AD. He knows who's in charge, and he knows who wins. But we will hear from the mouth of Nero. We will hear from the mouth of Adolf Hitler. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So the day of the Lord is the day of vindication of God and his people, but I think it's another reminder it's still prevalent in our culture that you will hear people say or sing or even have tattooed upon themselves, "Only God can judge me." Well, you're right. But that should be said with fear and trembling, because he will. Mm-hmm. And he says that even every word we have spoken will be brought into account. And the thing about God's judgment is that it will come according to his standard, not ours. So we have two options. We either flee to Jesus and confess now openly and freely that we are sinners in need of salvation and forgiveness, or we give an account for everything we've said and done, and we bear in our bodies the wrath of God for our sin. Those are the two options. Either Jesus takes our wrath for us, which he did on the cross, or we take our wrath for us. And I'm going to tell you, every time you read in the Bible about the day of the Lord, and it's talking about a day of great darkness and of great terror, that's what it's going to be. The return of Christ will either be the greatest day in your personal history, or it will be the worst day in your personal history, and nowhere in between. So that's what Peter is reminding. You know, listen to the prophets of old. Listen to the apostles as they've shared. Listen to the teaching of Jesus himself. You know, you think about the Olivet Discourse. And if you read Matthew chapter 24, for example, you're going to hear from the mouth of Jesus the things that will transpire to let you know it's getting close. Nation will rise against nation, and obviously we're seeing that right now. I'll say this, anytime you see Israel in the news, that's a reminder that this world will not go on forever. And quite frankly, you know, we're thinking about Israel right now, surrounded, Hamas on the south, to the southeast there at Gaza. Then you've got Syria, obviously, to the north. You've got Lebanon and Hezbollah to the northeast, or to the northwest, rather. Syria to the northeast. And there's just, for the last 75 years, the nation state of Israel has been surrounded by enemies. And they are yet again surrounded by enemies who are seeking to kill and steal and destroy and take hostage and all those sorts of things. And so, again, these are all salient reminders that God has said today is the day of salvation. Don't delay coming to the Lord. It could be any time. You look out and you see these things happening. People say, well, there's an increased number of natural disasters happening. Well, yeah, there's another reminder. Be ready. Be ready. For the Bible would tell us that as in the days of Noah, there will be people who are just marrying and giving in marriage, doing life, making it happen, and suddenly the end will come. And all of a sudden, they're going to care very deeply about their spiritual state. And the problem is, at that point, just like with the ark, you know, there came a day when the door of the ark was closed. It was God who closed the door of the ark, and the opportunity for salvation from the flood, well, it came to an end. And one day, Christ will return, and the opportunity for salvation in Christ will come to an end. And the day of mercy will have ended, and the day of judgment will have begun. And so our call is to everyone, all people, come to Christ, flee the wrath to come, be forgiven, and be found safe in Jesus Christ.
So I'm asking this with some degree of uncertainty. It almost sounds to me like, based on what you're saying, that Peter is not saying, okay, look at the details that have been given you by the prophets, the Messiah, and the apostles, and try to chart it out and figure out when the end is coming. He's really saying, look at what they're saying. The day of the Lord is coming. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is more of a personal call to repentance, and we see the evidence of what's going to happen, and that should provoke us to personal repentance. Is that correct?
Well, if you think about Peter's interaction with Jesus about this very issue, and it wasn't just Peter, but it was all the disciples. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, they're there at the Mount of Olives. So when they had come together, they asked him, they being the disciples, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And then Jesus ascends to heaven. So again, I'm not saying that it is not worthwhile or not interesting to study these things.
Sure.
But there are people who have devoted their entire lives to this. They're going to figure out the mind of God. And Jesus has said straightforwardly, it's not for you to know when that's going to happen. So, I mean, you can turn on the TV and you, in 20 years, I've been turning on religious programming and preachers who've said, ah, here it is. This is when it's happening. This is when he's coming. And then time after time, they were wrong. But that's been going on for centuries. And Jesus said, don't be deceived. People are going to say, he's coming, he's coming. No, everyone, you're not going to miss the coming of Christ. Mm. So I think that, sure, is there anything inherently wrong with studying, okay, could this be it? Could this be the time? I don't think there's anything at all inherently wrong with that. But I think we've got to approach it with a degree of humility, recognizing that we don't know when the end will come. But then we also, I think, have to be careful to remember what he said in Acts. You're not going to know. And what you are to be busy doing is being my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, not you are to be busy trying to figure out the secret code of heaven so that you'll know exactly when it comes. Hmm. No, you should be calling people to repentance and faith in Christ all around the world to the ends of the earth. And so, yeah, is there anything wrong with trying to study that and looking at charts and wondering? No, nothing inherently wrong with that. Unless that becomes your key focus and it pulls you away from doing what he's left you here to do. And that is to trust and follow Jesus and to help other people do the same thing. So, yeah, I think that I told Vespers last night, and this is a joke, so before you write an email, I'm telling a joke. But I said, you know, whether you're dispensational, premillennial, and within that context, pre-tribulational, mid-tribulational, or post-tribulational, when the rapture is going to happen, or if you're traditional premillennial, if you're amillennial, or if you're postmillennial, you can be panmillennial as long as you're in Jesus. And they said, well, what is panmillennial? I said, well, here's what it is. Put your trust in Jesus Christ alone, and everything will pan out in mm-hmm. the end. Mm-hmm. And so, again, you know, nothing wrong with studying eschatology, nothing wrong with having a decided, settled view of how you believe that everything's going to work out, as long as that is according to Scripture. Nothing wrong with talking about it, debating about it, you know, as followers of Christ. But ultimately, don't allow that to deviate you from your calling, and that is to be his witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Amen. You know, my mom's long called herself a pan-millennialist.
Love that.
Yeah,
Well, and to be clear, that joke was not original with me.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, seriously, yeah. You know, if we are in Christ, you can truly say it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. It's going to work out fine. And so I was in a conversation with a dear, dear friend of mine who is a committed dispensational premillennialist. And so just for fun, you know, I've kind of taken the counterpoint position with her over the years. And she is deeply intelligent and deeply convinced and has all sorts of evidence. She said, you know, this eclipse is coming. And I said, look, if I'm next to you soaring through the skies to meet the Lord in the air, I will look at you and say, you were right, mm-hmm. and you will be vindicated. And I will be fine with that, mm-hmm. right? It's going to be great. But anyway, again, the call, place all of your trust and hope in Jesus Christ, and he'll take care of the future.
Amen. Well, that leaves us with a really simple practical application question. So Peter writes, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Just briefly, what does he mean?
Yeah. So to be found by him without spot or blemish is only possible by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And then seeking in the power of the Holy Spirit to trust and follow him. And the big theological word for that, that's actually a part of our salvation that's called sanctification. Salvation is not just about crossing the starting line of faith. Salvation is about crossing the starting line of faith by repenting of sin and believing the gospel. But then you continue to grow. And that was the point of the sermon, that Peter didn't stop. When we stopped hearing about him in Acts chapter 15, that didn't mean his journey of growth was over. I mean, he had decades after that. Well, after Acts chapter 15, he had about another decade or so, decade and a half, during which he's continuing to grow. So we saw Peter's growth to a point, and then we get to read Peter's growth in his last letter. And we see that God kept working in him. God kept doing things in him. And the same is true for all of us. And so it's not just, oh, I'm saved, I got that taken care of, I go back to my life now. No, I continue to grow in grace by the power of the Holy Spirit, learning from God's Word, being shaped by God's Spirit. And that is what gives me, one, evidence that God is continuing to work in me. That's evidence of salvation in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But then that puts me at peace to know that the Lord has me. And I'm not going back to rely on a sinner's prayer that I uttered some number of years ago. I'm relying on the fact that the Lord is still working in me. You know, years ago when I first got in ministry, I was kind of shocked by the number of people that I met with who wanted to meet because they were questioning their salvation. And early on, you know, I would meet with them and say, well, tell me about when you prayed to receive Christ, and did you mean it? And I think that's a valid question. That's a worthwhile question to ask. But the question that I came very quickly to start asking people, and it would be the question that I would ask you, listener, today, if you wanted to meet with me and say, I'm concerned about my salvation. The question I'm going to ask you is, what is your hope of heaven? And if you start listing your resume of your righteous deeds, I'm going to stop you because you're not a Christian, because your righteous deeds are as filthy rags before a holy God. The answer is Jesus. I have hope of heaven because of Jesus, his sinless life, his substitutionary atonement, his resurrection from the dead. I have repented of my sin and placed my faith in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. And he's been working in me. I'm not who I was. I'm not who I used to be. I mean, that is a gracious gift of evidence given by the Holy Spirit to show that God is doing something in me so that I can be sure, I can be at peace. I don't have to be worried about the coming of Christ. You know, if I'm not in Christ, or if I'm relying on my own righteous deeds to get me into heaven, I'm not at peace. Because, well, I'm wondering, have I done enough? Have I done too much good, too much bad? What, you know, am I going to make it? That's not the attitude of a Christian. The attitude of a follower of Jesus is Christ has done enough, and I am trusting in him alone. Now, his grace continues to work in me. So my salvation is from faith to faith. That's what Paul would write in Romans. The beginning of it's faith, and where I am now is faith that he is doing work in me. So that's what he's saying. He's saying, continue to fix your eyes on Jesus. Continue to run with perseverance the race marked out for you. Continue to walk by faith and not by sight. And continue to allow him to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in your life, which is evidence of the guarantee he's given you of your everlasting life, the presence of the Holy Spirit within you.
Amen. May he continue to work in us, and may we be found at peace without spot and blemish.
Amen.
Jeff, can you pray us out?
Let's pray. Lord, there's going to be an eclipse today. And by the time this episode airs, the eclipse will have come and gone. But Lord, whether you have returned or whether you have not, whether you have called your church home or whether you have not, our hope rests completely and solely in you, no matter what. And we do pray, come, Lord Jesus. We join with the voice of the Apostle John, who writes at the end of Revelation, come, Lord Jesus. But we know that if you haven't come, then that is because of your mercy in opening the way for just some more time for others to come to faith in Jesus Christ. So may we be found faithful to invite them to faith in Jesus Christ. And for anyone who's listening to this, whose questions have been raised, am I in Christ? Well, there's one way to be sure. Repent and believe the gospel today. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and he may be found right now. So turn away from your life of sin and place your faith solely in Jesus Christ as Lord. So, Lord, work in us that which is pleasing in your sight, all for your glory and the good of those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to our channel and submit a question to the link in our show notes. For even more First Baptist content, visit firstbaptistbg.org. Our engineer is Elliot Beckley, and our editors are Chadwick Walden and Tejon Bumpus.